WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. New information about the opioid crisis shows that overdose deaths in Virginia may have dropped to pre-pandemic levels. Democratic former Governor Terry McAuliffe has some advice for his fellow Democrats after they underperformed in this year's election. And we tell the remarkable story of one U.S. ambassador from Charlottesville. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, November 13. A new report from Virginia's Medical Examiner shows opioid overdose deaths in the Commonwealth may have dropped to pre-pandemic levels. Preliminary numbers compiled by the Virginia Department of Health show a 30% decrease from the record high death rate in 2021, when more than 2,200 people died. Lynn Dickey, a state substance use disorder data analyst, said Virginia has surpassed its goal to reduce deaths by 20% as of 2025.
And we are on target to do that. But no one, I think, would say that that's enough or that's a stopping point. We want to get it to zero. That's the goal.
Dickey credits collaboration between federal, state, and local agencies for the decrease. Why did Democrats underperform in the election last week? Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope has some perspective from a former governor.
Former Governor Terry McAuliffe says the numbers tell a story, and it's one that's not good for Democrats. In 2020, Democrats won young people in Virginia with a margin of 23 points. This year, it was only 8 points. In the last election, Democrats won women by 15 points. This year, it was only 9.
Our party way overestimated the Dobbs decision and the power that that was to motivate people to go to vote.
Regrets? He's got a few. And he was not shy about mentioning them to a group of students at George Mason University this week.
I think there's a good debate about the Liz Cheney thing. I didn't really think that was the smartest thing ever for a closing argument to have Liz Cheney. I didn't think it was a great idea the night before the election to have a big Beyonce concert. Most of the people at home can't afford to go to a Beyonce concert. You know, he should have been going door to door.
He says Democrats looking for a ray of hope can expect a good performance in 2025 when Virginia voters will elect a governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney general, plus all 100 seats in the House of Delegates. The party that wins the White House usually loses the race for governor of Virginia, with only one exception in recent years, and that was Terry McAuliffe, who was elected governor the year after Barack Obama was reelected to the White House. Michael Pope.
Democrats in Loudoun County will caucus on Saturday to determine who will fill a now empty state Senate seat. Six candidates have registered to compete in the Firehouse primary to replace Senator Suhas Subramaniam, who was elected to Congress last week. A Firehouse primary is an election run by the state's political party to determine a nominee. The special election will be held on January 7th. Virginia Democrats are hoping to hold on to their majorities in both state chambers. Jay Jones, a Democratic former state delegate from Norfolk, on Tuesday announced his bid for Virginia Attorney General. Jones represented the 89th District in the House of Delegates from 2019 to 2021. The Virginia Mercury reports it marks his second run for his party's nomination for Attorney General. In 2021, he lost the Democratic primary to then-incumbent Mark Herring, despite an endorsement from former Governor Ralph Northam. Jones is one of two declared candidates in next year's Attorney General's race, alongside Henrico County Commonwealth's Attorney Shannon Taylor. Finally today, the U.S. has nearly 200 ambassadors in other countries, and when a new president takes office, some of them are usually replaced. One ambassador is a Virginia man with a remarkable story to tell. Virginia Public Radio's Sandy Hausman spoke with him.
In June, Arthur Brown was finally welcomed as U.S. ambassador to Ecuador. Flanked by a dozen officers in red, white, and blue uniforms with gold braid, he walked the red carpet to present his credentials. He waited 20 months for Senate confirmation after serving in 14 other countries. This job was the culmination of a fascinating career that began on a dirt road east of Charlottesville.
Route 616, which is Black Cat Road, if you pass the first church on your left, there's a little dirt road. I lived down in that holler.
Brown's grandparents had been farmers. His parents were raised in the Jim Crow era and suffered through mass resistance when Virginia closed its public schools rather than integrate them. Arthur grew up in a different time. He played football at Albemarle High School, took a field trip to the General Assembly, saw New York as part of the Model United Nations program, and was set on a career in foreign service. There was, he recalls, just one problem, a rejection letter from the University of Virginia. With encouragement from his father, Arthur reached out to the director of admissions.
Called him out of the telephone pages, and I told him that the university had made a mistake by not accepting me. He was like, "Who is this?" And I'm like, "I need to come see you. We got to talk." I thought that someone had to hear my story, and he allowed me to come in.
His story was simple. He had excelled in social studies, but didn't do well in math.
My grades demonstrated real academic prowess in sociology, history, government. But then with the quantitative stuff, like I wasn't super strong. And if I've got to take a math class or a stats class or whatever, I'll do that. But there's no doubt that I have what it takes to succeed at the university.
He had dressed for success in khakis, a blue blazer, orange and blue tie, and a pair of tasseled loafers.
So, you know, I had the uniform.
And the director of admissions was intrigued.
He asked me, "If you don't get into school, what are you going to do?" And I was like, "I'm going to Paris Island, going to the Marine Corps."
That's when John Blackburn decided to give him a chance. Brown washed dishes and drove a campus bus to pay his expenses, played sports and double majored in sociology and African American studies. He joined a fraternity and, armed with a degree from UVA, entered the Peace Corps, serving in Togo and Benin. He went on to the Foreign Service, learned French and Spanish, served in other parts of Africa, Latin America, and the Caribbean. Wherever he went, Brown says, people were surprised.
I'm turning heads because, I mean, let's face it, I'm a Black American male. A lot of people don't get a chance to meet an American that fits my background. You know, I'm an anomaly. And that's okay.
He hopes he might stay on in Ecuador, where the reception has been especially warm.
They call it cariño. It's just a welcoming, a hospitality.
But the country is caught between Colombia and Peru in a regional struggle with drug trafficking and terrorism.
Ecuador's geography has it sandwiched between two major cocaine transporters and producers. And because Ecuador has a U.S. dollar economy, it's really easy for drug trafficking organizations to launder money and corrupt every institution of order and security.
Whatever happens professionally, Arthur Brown plans to stay in public service. He might return to the Piedmont and run for office.
You never know. I may have to come back to the 5th District and shake things up a little bit. Who knows?
And over the holidays, he'll be back in Virginia to visit several universities and encourage students to consider a career in foreign service.
Our young folk matter. I want to be replaced by good people, so you got to influence them. You got to help them.
In Charlottesville, I'm Sandy Houseman.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicki. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Wednesday.